All right, okay. So the pasuk tells us in this coming week's parasha that Yaakov Avinu arrives in the town of Shechem, and Vayichon es Pnei Ha'ir, and he settled on the face of the city. So the Gemara has in Masechta Shabbos two opinions. What does it mean, Vayichon es Pnei Ha'ir? One opinion is Tikkun Lahem of Beos, he established for them a system of currency. The other one is Shvakos Tikkun Lahem, he established for them a marketplace. So the economy was improved by the fact that Yaakov Avinu settled within the city. However, the Medrash comments, Vayichon es Pnei Ha'ir, that he was Kavala Asmo Tchum Shabbos. He established for himself the boundaries of how far one is allowed to walk outside of the city. He was Kavala Asmo Tchum Shabbos. He's not the first of the others to keep Tchum Shabbos, because the Pasuk tells in Parshas Toldos, in connection with Avraham Avinu, Eikav Asher Shama Avraham Bekoli, Mishmar Mishmar Simis, Vasai Chuk Vasai Vasai Vasai. Even before Avraham Avinu heard my voice, he's already keeping the mitzvahs and the chukim and the Torahs. So Gemara says, Masechta Yuma derives from here then, from Mikan, that Avraham Avinu kiyum is called Torah Kula Adjalein. Now he kept all the mitzvahs of the Torah even before they were giving, even Eruvei Tavshilin, even Erev Tavshilin, which permits someone to cook from Yantif to Shamas. So Vilna Gaon says, where do you see in this Pasuk, Eikav Asher Shama Avraham Kali Shmar Mishvazim is the Sai Kul Kasai Pasar Sai, that he kept Eruvei Tavshilin? So he says, no, he thinks it was probably Ayin Tav of Rashi Tevis. Someone translated it as Eruvei Tavshilin, but he really thinks it's supposed to be Eruvei Tchumin, that he was Kavala Asmo Tchum Shabbos. That's why the pasuk says, Ekev Asher Shama Avraham Bekoli. Ekev can mean before or when, or could also mean person's heel. So Avraham Avinu kept all of the Torah Kula Achagoninah, even the mitzvah that has to do with walking, which is outside of the Tchum Shabbos. Avraham Avinu also kept Tchum Shabbos. So either Yaakov Avinu improved the economy in the city, or Avraham Avinu was Kavala Asmo Tchum Shabbos. He drew boundaries about how far one is allowed to walk outside the city. But perhaps these two explanations are indeed complementary, and they one demands the other. And that is because even if a person is going to be involved in the economy of the city, of course, and the society around us, of course, he needs also to be able to be Kavela Asmat Chum Shabbos. He needs to be able to draw boundaries and red lines, and the difference between, in order so he doesn't integrate and assimilate even his values to the society around us. So yes, we participate in the economy and society to a certain degree, but at the same time, we have to be Kavela Asmat Chum Shabbos. In fact, the Netziv says, Vayichon es Pnei Ha'ir, he settled outside the city, not together in the city. Yes, he was Kavela, you know, he established Matbeos and he established Vakim. He engaged in the economy, but he also lived outside the city. He knew that he wasn't really a part of society. So too, as a part of this, even though we all engage, you know, most people at least, think you're preparing to engage in the economy, and we do business throughout the week, we have to be Kavel Asmut Chum Shabbos. We have to draw figurative boundaries around the Shabbos, but also literal boundaries. A person, of course, cannot be Isaac B'Parnasa in business on Shabbos. And part of that in the modern context is having deliveries go out on Shabbos if you're a business and you're sending out deliveries and you promise next day shipping, or if a person is receiving a package or a delivery and he wants to receive it on Shabbos. So these two issues are what we wanted to discuss today. Of course, for now, we're Baruch Hashem, it's always Meinyana de Yayma. This is constantly going on throughout the year, but it's Meinyana de Esmo. It's from last week, so now we can talk about it without any emotional baggage. We can talk about it honestly. All right, but it's an issue really of one of Amir Lenachri, which is based on a pasuk over here in Parashas Boy, where the Torah tells us the connections with Yontif. Kol malacha lo ye'aseh bohem. No malacha should be performed, not only by you, ye'aseh bohem. Rashi says, even if it's performed for you, afilo yidei acherim. So, meaning you can't ask an Achri to perform one of the avos malachas on Shabbos, or even a derivative of that. You cannot ask an Achri to perform an iser, prohibitive activity for you on Shabbos. The Ramban, so Rashi seems to read it into the Pasuk, and it's really based on the Mechilta de Rashbi that the Ramban himself quotes over there, Perikud Beis, Pasuk Design in Parashas Boy. But the Ramban claims, of course, Chazal tell us numerous times throughout Masechta Shabbos and elsewhere that Amir Lenachri is only us mid the Rabbanon. To ask Lenachri to do a Malach Fiyu on Shabbos is only us mid the Rabbanon. So even though the Mechilta seems to connect with this Pasuk over here in Parashas Bo, says the Ramban, Vavada hi asmachta biyam. This must be, an asmachta. It's connected to the Pasuk. Perhaps the Pasuk is alluding to a later development, which would be, of course, the Issa of Amir. And now I'll ask enough to do a Malach of you on Shabbos. Ho, 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 ho. Okay. So, but what is the reason you're not allowed to ask enough to do a Malach of you on Shabbos? So there's three main trends of thought within the Rishonim. The first is, the Rambam tells us you're not allowed to ask enough to do malach of you on Shabbos, lest you come to do it yourself. You have all asos ba'atman, as the saying goes, if you want something done right, do it yourself. So I see the Nachri is not doing it to my specifications or to my satisfaction. and then I will intervene in order to make sure that it's done correctly. So that's why you're not allowed to ask him to do it. Rashi and Avodah Zarah says a different reason, along the same lines, though, and that is because when the Nachmi does a malacha on my behalf, even though there is no shlichus le'yakum, the formal establishment of representation does not extend to non-Jews. It's based on the pasuk in connection with Truma. V'tarimu gam atem, kein tarimu gam atem, atem l'rabo shulchachem, Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Masechtas Kiddushin. But the Gemara says, ma atem b'nei bris, af shulchachem b'nei bris. In order for there to be shlichus, there has to be, you have to be a Jew. There's no shlichus to a non-Jew, but yesh shlichus le'yakum l'chumra. There's shlichus to non-Jews l'chumra, and therefore, at least with regards to matters of stringency, if a person sends a nachri to do a malach on his behalf, it will be considered his representative, and as if he performed it himself. So if I ask a nachri to do malach for me on Shabbos, it's as if I'm doing it myself. The Rambam has a slightly different flavor to that, right? Slightly different variation. I might come to do it myself, literally, because he won't do it to my satisfaction, but along the same lines. Rashi, elsewhere in the Zohar, gives an entirely different perspective. And that is based on the posting of Sefer Yeshayahu, tells us in connection with Shabbos, v'chibadato, how do we honor Shabbos? Me'asoyis terechecha, mi'metzoy chafetzecha, v'daber dover. We honor Shabbos, mi'metzoy chafetzecha, from engaging in the things that we are interested in, meaning our business endeavors. Me'asoy chafetzecha, v'daber dover. We don't do things normally that we, the whole week long we're running in the rat race of life, and come Shabbos we're supposed to stroll along calmly. And also, we're not supposed to talk on Shabbos the way that we talk during the week, the whole week long. We talk about malacha, we talk about buying and selling things and driving places. You're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. You can say, I plan to go to Florida. You cannot say, I plan to drive to Florida. Maybe you're going to walk. You can say, I plan to go to Eretz Yisrael. You should not say, I plan to fly to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you're going to take a boat. Who knows? You can't describe doing a malacha in Shabbos, because you're not supposed to speak on Shabbos the way we speak during the week. So says Rashi, if you ask the Nachri to do a malacha for me, I say, can you turn on the light for me? I just spoke about turning on the light. I say, can you go and purchase for this for me in the store? I just spoke about purchasing things. You're not allowed to ask the Nachri, you're not allowed to speak about Malach on Shabbos, certainly I can't ask the Nachri to do it. Why does Rashi, though, right, we can have a Machlaikas Rishayna, but you can't have a Machlaikas with yourself. How does Rashi have both opinions here? You know, both Rashis. So all the Achronim explain, starts with the Alter Rebbe, has this in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Avnei Nezer, the Stipler. Just one example of that is over here, Rabbi Chanan spells it out, over here, Ois Hei and the Kovish Yurim, because there's really two parts to the Yisav Amir HaNachri. One is that if I ask him to do something on my behalf, it's as if I'm doing it myself because of representation, or the Rambam's take on that, because I might come to do it myself, he won't do it to my satisfaction. But another part of the Yisav Amir HaNachri is because I'm not supposed to speak about forbidden activities on Shabbos. Separate Yisar. And therefore, we find different permutations to the Yisav Amir HaNachri, which will violate one of these principles and not the other, and then, of course, you have one that will violate both. Let's say I ask the Nachri on Thursday, can you purchase something for me on Shabbos? Can you turn on the light for me on Shabbos? So I didn't speak about any malach on Shabbos. I spoke about it on Thursday. He's doing it for me on Shabbos. So it's no v'dabar davar, but when he does it for me, I might come to do it myself. He won't do it to my satisfaction. You turned on the wrong light. Or maybe he's acting as my representative as Rashi presented it. So then it's as if I'm doing it myself. Or let's say I ask the Nachri, so you have one and not the other. What if I ask the Nachri on Shabbos, can you turn on the light for me on Tuesday? Can you pick up my kid from school on Tuesday in a car? So then, right, he's not going to walk. So then I'm speaking about malacha on Shabbos, but it's not taking place on Shabbos. It's taking place on Tuesday. Still inappropriate. I'm not supposed to say I plan to fly to Eretz Yisrael, even though it's taking place on Tuesday. So it's not shlichus, or I might come do it myself on Tuesday. He won't, he'll cancel, and I'll have to do it myself. That's on Tuesday. That's fine. It's a problem of a dabber dover, yeah.
Would it be a problem if, let's say, picking up the kid, it wasn't malacha?
Of course, then it's fine. No, I don't know if it's an achana is an issue. No, but I mean, speaking about it, achana is an issue of tircha. You're not supposed to be tereach on Shabbos, shalor l'tzarech Shabbos. So you're not supposed to start packing suitcases for a flight Friday night. You're being tereach on Shabbos, shalor l'tzarech Shabbos.
Does it have to always be an action?
It usually has to be action involved, correct.
Because
yeah.
That wouldn't be considered tircha to make your plans earlier, you don't have to worry about it later?
If you have to walk to the Nachri's house in order to tell him, then it's tircha.
Okay.
There has to be some activity involved, yeah. Yes. What if I asked the Nachri on Shabbos to do a malacha on Shabbos? And of course, I violated both, right? I spoke about malacha on Shabbos, and I asked the Nachri to do the malacha on Shabbos. I might come to do it myself, or if he doesn't, he's acting as my representative. So what should be the story then with sending packages that will travel over Shabbos? Aren't I, even if I sent the package on Thursday, if it's traveling over Shabbos, certainly if it's being delivered on Shabbos, aren't I asking the Nachri to do a malacha for me on Shabbos? Or if I send the package out on Shabbos, you know, okay. Aren't I asking, even if it's not delivered till Tuesday, or even if it doesn't leave till Tuesday, aren't I asking the Nachri to do a malacha for me either during the week as being delivered on Shabbos or even traveling over Shabbos? Should be an issue. So there's one other critical component to this discussion, and before we even begin, and that is the Shulchan Aruch brings over here, Siman Reish Mem Zayin Sif Aleph, over here, Oizvav, that you can send a letter right before Shabbos, even as you are on your way to shul, you can drop it in the mailbox. Provided that you do not tell him to travel on Shabbos. Yeah, but I know there's Saturday pickup of the mail, so the mailman's coming. Aren't I asking the mailman to travel on Shabbos? The Mishnah Berurah says no. He decides to come on Saturday. I didn't ask him to come. I know he does come, but they make up their own schedule. If he would come on Monday, I can't ask for a refund, right? So says the Mishnah Berurah, V'ma'ini Yehudi, Omer me'asma she'yach b'Shabbos. He decides to make a schedule for Shabbos. Les lomba. That's not a problem for the Jew. I didn't demand that he travel on Shabbos. He is trying, decides to take it on Shabbos. That's up to him. Or another variation of this is the Shulchan Aruch simulation of Beisiv Beis, more common example. A person gives his dry cleaning to the non-Jew to dry clean. I drop it off Friday. I'm going to pick it up Monday. He probably decides to do it on Shabbos because they're not open on Sunday. Okay, but he could have done it on Sunday. I didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos. If I drop it off Friday right before Shabbos, I pick it up Monday Shabbos right after Shabbos, then obviously I'm asking him to do it on Shabbos. But I didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos. He could do whatever he wants. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Muto itim begad of the koyves in a Yehudi, I can give it to a laundromat. Varis la'avdan, or a leather worker, some chashecha right before Shabbos. Vahu shelo yoyim alo lasas b'Shabbos. That's provided you don't give it him on Shabbos, that I demand that he work on it on Shabbos. V'gam sheyase eino Yehudi amalacha b'beisoy. It can't happen in my house. So you can't leave, you can drop a mail in a mailbox. I can't leave a package on my front door and have the mailman come and pick it up on Shabbos. That's a little bit worse, because then it's taking place in my house, even though he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos, but it's taking place in my house. It's like a marasayan or something. So it shouldn't be, you know, some businesses have that. Even if you put a package out to be, you know, shipped, if it shouldn't be from the business, even though it's not taking place after Shkia Friday night, you know, to ship out from your house on Friday is already a marasayan. Even though he could have come right before Shabbos, he could have come on Shabbos, it's up to him. If it's in my house, really not appropriate. If I put it in a mailbox, I drop it off at some central location, or even if there's a bunch of businesses that leave their packages downstairs with the doorman or something like that, that's fine. But if it's coming from my house, that's already a marasayan. Even though I didn't ask him to come Shabbos, I said, come whenever you want. He decides to come Shabbos. It says, sounds like over here, the Shulchan Aruch. So it shouldn't happen in your house. Okay? So the drop mail in the mailbox anyway to shul, that's okay, because the Nachri is doing it. He decided to work on Shabbos. But what about express shipping? Right? Express shipping. I asked the Nachri, please travel on Shabbos. Whether it's delivered on Shabbos or not, even if I send it Friday, and I ask him to send it to the Philippines, and I hope it gets there Sunday. There's no way it's getting there from Friday to Sunday unless he travels on Shabbos. So I'm asking him to travel on Shabbos, even though nothing got delivered on Shabbos. Certainly, if I ask for a package to be delivered on Shabbos, or to be sent out on Shabbos, certainly then I'm asking him to do it on Shabbos. Isn't that a problem? It's not like putting a mail in the mailbox, the snail mail, who knows when it'll get there, right? You hope it ever gets there. So that's the guy decided to do it on Shabbos, up to him. Here I'm asking the guy to travel on Shabbos. Isn't express shipping a problem by Meir Nachri? So this, of course, has contemporary wrinkles and certain permutations which are new, but the shaila is fundamentally a very old shaila, leading back to the early days of, you know, mail service. And much of the discussion centers around the tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov, who was a rav in Prague in the 1700s. And most of the pesukim just applied the same principles that were developed by the Shvus Yaakov. So the first argument that the Shvus Yaakov discusses in terms of express shipping, his first tzad lahaka, right? It should be a problem of Mir Onachri ostensibly. So we have to figure out maybe there are avenues l'kula. So he has two primary arguments, the Shvus Yaakov. The first is based on the tshuva of the Chavos Yoer, who lived about 50 years earlier in Germany. He was in Prague. This is in Germany. The Chavos Yoer suggested the following. Maybe the Isser of Amir or Nachri only applies if I ask the Nachri directly to do something for me, either on Thursday to do it on Shabbos to do it on Shabbos to do it on Tuesday. What if I ask a Nachri to ask his friend the Nachri to do the activity? But I'm not the one who's doing it. So can you really call him my messenger? He's not my messenger. He's the messenger of the first Nachri, the middleman. I ask a Nachri, right? And then Nachri A asks Nachri B. So Nachmi B is really working for Nachmi A. He's not working for me. So he's not my representative. He's the representative of the first Nachmi. Well, you'll say, so if I call FedEx and I ask, or I, you know, Amazon or whatever it is, and I ask them, please have it delivered on Saturday. And the person I speak to on the phone is not going to be the one to deliver it. They're going to send it out with a, it's already probably 15, things that have been handed off, levels of management. I don't know how many they have over there. So then by the time it gets down to the guy who actually delivers it, far, far removed. Now clearly he knows it's for me. But that's the argument of the Chavos Yoreh, is how could he call that for me? My representative. He's really doing it for the first Nachri who asked him. So Amira da Amira perhaps should be permitted. That was the argument of the Chavos Yoreh. So to the tremendous credit of the Chavos Yoreh, he printed a tshuva of one of his contemporaries, the Avodas HaGirshuni, who disagreed with him. He printed it in his own Shailos and Tshuvas, in its entirety. Then he printed it's his criticism, which is very intellectually honest. And then he, to his great, he's a big, big man. And then he printed his arguments back. But the Avodas HaGirshuni claims that it's wrong because it's not a compelling svara. He thinks, yeah, he is your representative. He knows he's doing it for you. Maybe if he doesn't know that he's doing it for you, you can make that argument. But he knows the FedEx, whoever's delivering the man, the UPS, whatever, knows he's doing it for you. It's your name on the package. He's delivering at your house. Of course he knows he's doing it for you. Has your name all over it. Okay. But then he brought a raya. He says it not only is it not a compelling argument, it's wrong in Sfara. He said, I have a raya against you. Because the Gemara says in Masechta the Shabbos over here, Ois Ches, Lo yiskar adam payalim b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. Lo yoymar adam lechaveroi liskar lo payalim. Not only can I not hire workers, I can't ask my friend to hire workers. In fact, the Gemara, why is your friend less Jewish than you? You can't hire workers. Oh, and my friend? What, your friend? Why is your friend not less committed than you? Of course, if you can't ask, your friend can't ask. It goes without saying. Maishno who? Maishno chaveroi. And for the Gemara, Marav Papa, Chaver Nochri, my friend the Shabbos guy. So I can't hire workers, and I can't ask my friend the Shabbos guy to hire workers. So it says the Avodas HaGirshuni, what do you see from here? Not only can I not do a Amira Nochri myself, I can't ask a Nochri. The game of telephone, I can't ask a Nochri to ask another Nochri to do it either. So it's wrong. Not only does he not find the argument compelling, he thinks it's wrong in Sfar. He has a raya against it. But even more than that, right? How can I ask a Nachri, even if the Nachri is going to ask another Nachri, I just discussed doing Malacha on Shabbos. So the Bir Halacha over here, Ois Yud, quotes from the Chassam Sofer, even if we're going to entertain the Chavos Yoyer, it has to be that we're discussing not that you ask the Nachri on Shabbos to ask another Nachri. The only time we can really entertain the argument of the Chavos Yoyer is either I didn't speak about a Malacha at all, or I asked him on Thursday. There's no v'dabar dover if I ask him on Thursday. All the only problem is one of representation, or I might come to do it myself when the Nachri comes to perform the Malacha on Shabbos. So then the Chassam Sofer says we can understand the argument of the Chavos Yoyer that maybe he's not considered to be my representative because it's once removed. Okay. Even that the Bir Halacha is not thrilled with. Look at the Bir Halacha at the end over here. He says, V'milsa chadoti. That's not what the Chavos Yoyer says. That's already he's overreading. And he says he doesn't think that he thinks there's a Tshuvas HaRashba that disagrees with this Chassam Sofer. You can't even ask him on Thursday when there's once removed to do a Malacha on Shabbos. Either way, the Mr. Brewer quotes the Chavos Yoyer over here, Ois Tes, V'da, D'mal D'kaimen Amir Le'enu Yehudi Shvus Hu, Afilu Omer Le'enu Yehudi Sheyom Le'enu Yehudi Acher L'Asos Lo Malacha B'Shabbos. You're prohibited from asking a Nachri to do a Malacha for you, and he quotes the Avodas HaGirshuni, you can't ask a Nachri to ask another Nachri to do a Malacha for you on Shabbos. But HaChavos Yoyer B'Simen Nun Gimel Metzaleh L'Haka B'Zeh. Then he quotes from the Chavos Yoyer, who is Meiko, She'en El Mishum Shvus, that you can ask the Nachri to do it for you. If Abakol Shekem B'Dover She'en El Mishum Shvus, certainly if what you're asking to do is only the Rabbanon, that's a Shvus to Shvus, but even if it's not, you can ask the fact that there's two Nachrim here should perhaps remove it from consideration of Amir O'Nachri. That's the argument of the Chavos Yoyer. Avodas HaGirshuni disagreed. The Chassam Sofer said maybe it only applies if you ask on Thursday. But that's the argument of the Chavos Yoyer. So at least if I order something and I ask it to be delivered on Shabbos, or I ask on Friday for him to deliver it to the Philippines on Sunday, so yes, he's traveling for me on Shabbos, but I asked him on Friday, there's no B'dabar Dover, and he's not the one who I spoke to, the man in the office is not the one who's actually the one who's bringing it. So once removed, maybe he's not my representative. I'm not going to come to do it myself because I'm already far removed from the process. That was the argument of the Chavos Yoyer. The Mishnah Berurah here concludes, V'ayim b'sever achayim, that's Reb Shlomo Kluger, shekosev de b'mokom hefsid godol, yesh lismach al hamakilin. We don't love the Chavos Yoyin and rely on it lechatchila, but if there's a hefzid godol, you can rely on it. Of course, that would depend on each person, kafi mashuhu, and his business and his status, but a hefzid godol for him, he could be able to rely on this. The truth of the matter is, though, that the argument of Chavos Yoyin does not take us very far. It really doesn't help for shipping. Not at all. And the Mishnah Berurah makes this point. Birimiza. Look, the Mishnah Berurah writes at the end over here, Ois Tes. We usually overlook these things. That which I wrote in Sivkoin Yudalef applies here too. He just took everything he just said and entirely took it off the table. It barely helps us. Why? Oh, why? What is he referring to? He's referring to a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, where the Mishnah tells us, Kuf Chof Aleph Amarav, over here, Oisir Beis. I have a fire breaks out. There's no one who's in danger. It's not a fire in any of our communities where, of course, a fire could represent a danger. Even if no one's in the house, the fire could spread to somewhere else. A guy is mamish in the deserted island somewhere, and this is his only house where he happens to store some of his stuff, but nothing's going to happen, right? A private island somewhere. And a fire breaks out. There's a Nachri there. So the Nachri decides to start putting out... Can I ask the Nachri to put it out the fire? No, you can't ask the Nachri to put out the fire. No one's life is in danger. No one's even going to be harmed. Loss of property. Okay, you can't ask the Nachri. What if he starts putting it out himself? Do I have to tell him to stop? No. Ain't Amin Kabe. I don't have to tell him Kabe. I can't tell him Kabe. Val Tikva, I don't have to tell him. Don't do it. He does it on his own. He does it on his own. And it's in that situation that you can say, Amar Rebbe... but the way be merames, like hint. Well, whoever does this won't lose out, but I can't ask him to do it. Fine. But if he does it on his own, do I have to stop him? No. Problem is, Mishnah says Masechta Shabbos Kufcha Beis Maralef next source Oisid Gimel. Nachri Shehidlik Asaner Mishdamish L'Eri Yisrael. A Nachri lights a candle. I can use it too. He lights it for himself. In Bishvil Yisrael, Usser, if he does it for a Jew, I can't enjoy it. Meaning if he does it, not only for me, certainly, even if he does it for another Jew, I cannot enjoy it on Shabbos. Part of the Inz of Amir, when Nachri is not only not asking him to do it, but if he does it on my behalf, I can't even benefit from it. Even if it was unsolicited, I didn't ask him. He just did it. He saw me sitting in a room in the dark. What are you sitting in the dark for? And he turns on the light. It's shy if I have to run out of the room or not, but you can't enjoy the light. Can't enjoy the light. So much so, says that goes Mordechai over here, Ois Yudalit, is quoted by the Magen Avraham and later by the Mishnah Berurah. Imro Yisrael v'shosak adaisi di Yisrael ko'ovid kevin shaheitzim shel Yisrael. Haeitzim shel Yisrael. If the Jew sees him and he doesn't protest, he doesn't tell him, do not turn on the light for me under any circumstances. If he doesn't do that, then it's as if he's asking the Nachri to do it. Because he enjoyed that which the Nachri did. If I tell him, please do not turn on the light, he says, no, I cannot stand seeing you in the dark, and turns on the light, then he did it for himself. He cannot stand to see it. That's up to him. But if he does it, or if he does it for himself because I have someone working in the house, and he or she needs the light on in a certain room, and they turn it on so they can go about their business, then I can later on enjoy it. They did it for themselves. But if I asked him to do it, or certainly even if I didn't ask him to do it, even if it was unsolicited, but they did it for me, I cannot enjoy that which they did. One minute. Fractoisvis. I thought if I have a fire, Leleinu, Chas V'Shalom, I have a fire, the Nachri comes to put it out, I don't have to tell him to stop. Why don't I have to tell him to stop? Why is it even that the Nachri is turning on the light? Have you heard the Kasha? Nachri is turning on the light, I'm not allowed to enjoy it. Not only am I not allowed to enjoy that which the Nachri produced for me, that's part of this of Amir and Nachri too, you can't ask him, and you can't even enjoy that which he did. But if I see him doing it, I have to tell him to stop. Ah, but the Mishnah told us earlier, if he's putting out the fire, I don't have to tell him to stop. So Tosfos makes a fundamental distinction, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and all the later Poskim. Says Tosfos, of here I see Gimel. It's not similar to the case that I don't have to tell the Nachri to stop putting out the fire. But here the candle is also if he does it for a Jew. When do we say the Nachri is doing something on his own? If the Jew doesn't benefit from that which the Nachri did, a Nachri puts out the fire. Did I benefit from the actions of the Nachri? In generally speaking, yes. But did he create something new for me to benefit from in a, you know, unique way that I didn't previously have access to? No. He just gave me back my house and prevented it from burning down. But the house was mine the whole time. He just removed an impediment to me enjoying it. Then if he does it on his own, I don't have to tell him to stop. He's not creating something for me. If he's creating a new avenue of enjoyment for me on Shabbos, then if I see him doing it, I have to tell him to stop. And if he does it, I can't even benefit from it. So when can I be merames to a nachri? Let's say we have a light on that's not supposed to be on in the house on Shabbos. So if it's disturbing a person, he can't sleep, and I have no other bedroom but the person can sleep, so you might be able to ask the nachri directly to turn it off. Because it's a double the rabbanon, turning off a light is the rabbanon. You're not creating, you're getting rid of something, right? And asking the nachri is another derabanan. So shvus to shvus, we'll get to in a second. A double derabanan is muta b'makom mitzvah, or b'makom hefsed gadol. So maybe if nowhere else to sleep, you can ask the nachri directly to turn it off. What though if it's not a place where someone needs to sleep, but there's a light on, we don't want the light on, whatever. Or... So then I can be merami. Says Mishabur, I could go over to the nachri's house and start telling him a sob story. You know, oy, what a terrible day. All the lights are on, they're not supposed to be on. He says, would you like me to come turn them off? You decide to come turn them off. That would be so nice if you know. I didn't ask you to do that, if you're so generous, you know. Then you could do that, you know, whole shtick of I didn't ask him. We didn't even discuss the words turning off lights. I just say, you can't discuss the words turning off lights. I just say, oh, all the lights are on. Make a vow. You know, if every time you knock on your nachri's door, it's every time it's a sob story, the guy, you know, he's gonna start figuring out the code. Then that he's like, what do you want me to do now? You know, all right, so that doesn't work. You can't tell, you know, you're, if your housekeeper knows, she knows, which light to turn off now? You know, so that doesn't work anymore. Then you lost, you got to go over for other reasons too. Anyway, Kitzamaisa, then you can be Meramis. Because then, if the Nachri does it on his own, I don't have to stop him. He's turning off a light. He's removing something so I can enjoy my room. But if he's creating something, even if I didn't ask the Nachri to do it, a common example of this is, a guy walks into a building, and the Nachri says, I know you're on the 15th floor, let me push the button for you. I didn't ask him to do it. No, he's doing it for you. So there might be a heter, yes, of course, taking an elevator is only the Rabbanon, because electricity without any glowing metals is only the Rabbanon. The Nachri lowers it to another the Rabbanon. So if I can't be trapped in my apartment all day Shabbos and it's too much to ask for me, I'm old, whatever, I'm not able to walk up 15 flights of stairs 50 times a Shabbos, and I can't be stuck in my apartment, designing Shabbos not to be stuck in the apartment, so shvus to shvus, b'makamayinik Shabbos, also allowed. Okay, it's not so terrible. There's legitimate grounds to allow it, if a person needs to do so. But one should never make the mistake of thinking, well, if the Nachri does it and I didn't ask him, that's fine. No, it's not fine. You have to tell him to stop, because if he'll listen to you, you have to tell him to stop, and you're not allowed to enjoy it. That's if he creates something proactive. So getting back over here, says the Mishnah Berura, what did your Amira Damira accomplish? I didn't ask him. He's not my representative. It's too far removed. So what, says the Mishnah Berura? Look over here, says the Mishnah Berura. He says, I and Masha Kosafti Le'el Sivkot in Yud-Alef. What did he write in Sivkot in Yud-Alef? Over here, Oysur Alef. Mikol Mokom Lo Yehene HaYisrael Me Oysur Malach Arach HaShabbos Kedin Eni Yehudi Shasim Malach L'Tzarech Yisrael. Anytime you ask him, even if you didn't ask him, it was unsolicited. Forget about Amir and Amir. I asked him three times removed. Even if it was unsolicited, you can't enjoy that which the Nachri did. Certainly, if he does it, if it's an Amir and Amir, you can't enjoy that which the Nachri produced. So says the Bir Alach over here, Oysur also in the brackets. It's underlined. Umari B'Malach HaShe'ein Tzarech Limchoz Kisharayis Eni Yehudi Oysur Me'asur HaShabbos. The only time we can even discuss the het of Amira Damira once removed is if he's not producing something for me new on Shabbos. But here, a guy who's delivering a package is producing something for you that's new on Shabbos. So of course, it's a new item that he's producing, he's bringing from far away. So how can we even discuss the fact that this should be permitted? Unless you'll say, well, I'm not going to enjoy it on Shabbos, and I'm only going to enjoy it after something. But either way, you're not allowed to ask him to do something that's creative that you're going to enjoy. You have to tell him to stop. Even if he does it unsolicited, I have to tell him to stop. Certainly, I can't ask him to do it, Amira Damira. So how does this help? It doesn't. Amira Damira really doesn't help us. The people who discuss it in this context is misapplication. What the Shavas Yaakov really said is the following. Turn the page. Shavas Yaakov said the following. Ois tezvav. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah means also. Says the Shavas Yaakov. Mikol Malkom nearly letzadet heter one kula to ship packages over Shabbos, have it delivered on Shabbos. Im any Yisrael asma medaber menach b'shahelik b'shlichus rakam ha'adon shal habei doar. All I'm speaking with is the menal, you know, the person in the mail room. Nimza shaliach asma eno halik hadas Yisrael rak b'shvila doinoi v'havi shvus t'shvus. He understood a double, we usually apply a double derabanan means ayesin, not really, that's one derabanan, and the very act that he's doing is a derabanan. The Shvus Yaakov meant to say, or said, if I ask a Nachri to do it and the Nachri asks another Nachri, that's called a Shvus to Shvus. Ay, 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 ay. That's typically not what a Shvus to Shvus means. We understand the difference. A Shvus to Shvus means I ask a Nachri to do something, which itself is only asked in the Rabbanan. If I ask a Nachri and the Nachri asks another Nachri, because the Nachri asking a Nachri is a, yeah, but the Nachri is permitted to ask the Nachri. That's not an Iser, an Amir of a Nachri, it makes it a double Rabbanan. It's still all one big Rabbanan. The Shvus Yaakov called that a double Rabbanan. Not that base. But that's where Shlomo Kluger meant also. If you look up that Sefer Achayim that the Mishnah Berurah quotes back in Ois Tes, Ayin Sefer Achayim Shekas with Malkam Hefzer Gavli Yesh Mismo Chalom Akila, and that was this. Shvus to Shvus, because it's a Amir to Amir becomes a Shvus to Shvus. What's that lock of a Shvus to Shvus? Look over here, Ois Tes Zayin, Shin Zayin Sefein, the Shulchan Aruch. A Shvus to Shvus is Mutter, either by Malkam Mitzvah, Ayin Shabbos, we discussed, or Litzarech Harbe, which means a Hefzer Gavli. Okay, so ideally we don't rely on this, you know, sending packages over Shabbos, at least according to this reason of the Shvus Yaakov, because were you demanding that the guy travel on Shabbos? Because to call this a Shvus to Shvus is really, you know, difficult in the first place, and even then it's only mutter b'makom hefzek gadol. So a hefzek gadol could happen, right, if you have to send a package, otherwise you lose your whole, you know, you'll lose a significant standing in your business, your reputation, you promise next day shipping, but it can't happen all the, you know, this can't be every week as a hefzek gadol. Otherwise we should all be able to work on Shabbos, you know. Sounds like a one-time thing, a two-time thing, you know, but makom hefzek gadol. That's the best we, according to this answer, the Shvus Yaakov, that's the best we can do. Now, by the way, this would not apply if there's time for the guy to get, right? If it's regular mail, he doesn't have to travel on Shabbos, it's okay. Or if I'm not really asking him to travel on Shabbos, right? If I send something to somewhere else in New Jersey and the guy decides to travel on Shabbos, it's up to him. But if he could have gotten there before Shabbos and he decides to travel on Shabbos, it's entirely up to him. So even if I send it express shipping, but he could have driven it there now and he'll get there way, it's Thursday morning, but express shipping only gets there Saturday, that's up to him. He decides to travel on Saturday, right? But if he would have traveled now, he could have traveled now. So that's entirely up to him. It would only be in circumstances where I'm demanding Saturday delivery, it can't get there unless the guy will travel on Shabbos. Yeah.
Is there going to be a problem if, let's say, you do normal shipping and it's supposed to come on Shabbos, but so...
Oh, we'll get to your point. We'll get to your point. There's another tzadok kula. So that's what you look in most poskim, they'll tell you. You cannot ship packages deliberately over Shabbos, where they have to. They mean to say where you have to travel on Shabbos or ask for Saturday delivery, unless it's b'makom hefzek gadol, certainly to ship out a package also. However, there is another tzadokul in the Shvus Yaakov. I don't know why it's overlooked by many of the contemporary books on the topic, but the Shvus Yaakov has another tzadokul, which is discussed also, but later subsequently by Dayan Weiss, the author of the Minchas Yitzchak. His other tzadokul is the following: it's based on the Mishnah that we said. We mentioned earlier. Ois Yud Gimel says the Mishnah: Nachri shehidlik asaner, a Nachri lights a candle, mishtamish la'ir Yisrael. A Jew can benefit from the light. In b'shvil Yisrael, if he lights it for a Jew, you cannot benefit from it. That we mentioned. Mila mayim lahashkas behemto. Let's say he fills up water for his animal, mashgach or of Yisrael. The Jew can use the water afterwards. In b'shvil Yisrael, if he brought the water for the Jew, of course the Jew cannot use it. Why does Gemara have the Mishnah have both of these cases? So the Gemara tells you, because a Nachri who lights a candle, a Jew for himself, a Jew can enjoy it. You know when you can enjoy it? When a Nachri lights a candle for himself? When the candle is the same candle for, you know, one person is a candle for 100 people. Ner le'echad, ner le'meah. That's where the group ner le'elef comes from. Right? Ner le'echad, ner le'meah. A candle for one person is a candle for 100 people. It's the same candle, whether he's using it or I'm using it also. Doesn't diminish anything from the candle. Water, he brings water for himself, and I decide, you know, I ask him, can I use the water? He says, sure, use the water. There's more of a concern, says the Gemara, because next time he might bring more water for me. And the more water he brings, the more Isurim he's doing. Right? He goes back, he brings another water for me, that'll be more Isa. He'll say, I only brought for myself. I'll go back and bring you for him. But you can enjoy the water that he brings. However, qualifies the Gemara. One qualification. If he knows you, sir. Why? He'll say, I'm going to the well. I'm bringing water. I'll bring you another bucket for you. See, a candle, there's no concern. Here, he might add for me. So, but let's say, so if Anachri adds for me, of course, that is a problem. What if Anachri, though, does a malacha where he, for a group of Jews, which of course you're not allowed to enjoy, but does a malacha for, a group of Jews you're not allowed to enjoy. If he does it for Nachrim, so then the Jew can enjoy it. Unless he's Makiro, he knows about you and he's going to add for you, then there's a fear. What if he does it for a group of people? Nachri does a malacha, right? If he does it for himself and it's a candle, we can all enjoy it. If he does it for us and there's a fear that he added for us, then we can enjoy it. Even if he does it for himself and he might have added for us, it's a problem. What if Anachri does a malacha for a group of people? Some are Jews, some are non-Jews. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Rav Yekuf Chabez Med Aleph, we go based on Rav. If Rav of the people are Jews, we assume he did it for the majority and it's prohibited. If Rav of the people are non-Jews, we assume he did it for the majority of non-Jews and it's permitted. If the majority, again, are Jews, it's prohibited. Majority of non-Jews is permitted. What if we know he did it for both? He tells us, I did it for everybody here. He loves everybody. So he did it for everybody. Is that called doing it for a non-Jew that we can enjoy it? Or is that called doing it for a Jew that we cannot enjoy it? So the Bi'alaka quotes over here from the Magen Avraham, Oisir Ches, says the Bi'alaka, I'm a Magen, B'mishra B'rusha, Tachnu B'shem a Magen Avraham, Dim Aser B'shvil Shnei an Aser. A non-Jew does something on behalf of Jews and non-Jews, the Jew cannot enjoy it because he did it on behalf of some of the Jews. That's like he lit a candle for Jews. I can't enjoy it. Even though he did it on behalf of everyone. The Chai Adam, Hinei B'nishmas Adam, Docha Raya Samagin Avram. The Chai Adam disagrees. And he says, no, he did it for the non-Jews also. That's like doing it for the non-Jews. Mishum Da'ikra, Da'at is an Avshay Avid, V'svar Azu, Adaf Yoyas, V'madar Aminu Ba'alma, Da'at is the Ruba Avid. This is better than the Roiv. Here he's saying, I did it for the non-Jews. Okay. So as long as the majority, I guess, are non-Jews also, right? So then that's helpful. And the Jew can use it too. If the majority are Jews, it's kind of like he did it primarily for the Jews. But if the majority are non-Jews, and he says, I'm doing it for everyone here, so then the Jew can benefit also. The Jew can benefit also. The Magen Avraham said, no, you can't. He's doing it partially. Say, I'm doing it for some of the Jews. So the Jew can't benefit. The Chai Adam says we can. So we generally pass like the Chai Adam. That's the Minig. As long as what the Nachri is doing is the same. He's not adding for the Jews, right? If he adds for the Jews, even if he did it for a Nachri, if he added for the Jews, right, Makiro, he knows you're there, and therefore he adds for you, that's no good. But if he's doing the same thing no matter what, but some are Jews, majority are non-Jews, and some are the minority are Jews, so even though the Jews are there, and he knows he's doing it for the Jews, doesn't matter. He's doing the same activity nonetheless. But why can't the Jew enjoy it? The primary intention of it is for the non-Jews. So the Pesachim said, we generally pass like the Chai Adam, and this comes up all the time. For example, Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi said, there's a big tumult about using electricity on Shabbos. Why? Because the electrical plants have people working in them. Nothing goes on autopilot, and there's someone pushing buttons and running stuff in the electrical plant on Shabbos. Most people in Israel are Jews, Baruch Hashem. But here it works to our detriment, because that means the people working in electrical plants are Jews, Nebuch. So that means they're the ones who are producing the electricity on Shabbos, and that's why we know in Bnei Brak they don't use the electricity, and in Yerushalayim they do use electricity, because if Shlomo Zalman said that the hospitals are on the same power grid, they have to run the power grid for the hospitals, when they're running the power grid, How come in America no one has any shilas about this? What do you say? Because the people working in the electrical plants are non-Jews. Yeah, but I'm here with the Nachri. The answer is, says Rabbi Sheh, Rabbi Sheh is a tshuva about it, and others, Eretz Tzvi, that's what Tzvi, the Kozhik lover, Ari Tzvi Farmer, the 5A is named for him. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva's Chachma Lublin after Meir Shapiro passed away. So in his tshuva is Eretz Tzvi, not to be confused, of course, with the Shech to say for Eretz HaTzvi, but in Eretz Tzvi. So he also discusses electricity in Chutz La'aretz, and he says, now, come on. They're running the electrical plants for Roiv Goyim. Borough Park is also, I believe, Roiv, I don't know. Roiv Goyim, but certainly they're not in their own electrical grid. So Roiv Goyim, they're running the power plant. They do it the same way no matter whether the Jews are all away in the country or the Jews not away in the country. They run the power plant all the same. So they're not doing anything specifically for the Jews. So majority are non-Jews, minority are Jews. You ask them, are you doing it for Borough Park? Of course we're doing it for Borough Park. Yes, Williamsburg also. Yes, of course we're doing it for the Jews. But they don't do anything different, and the majority here are non-Jews. So we pass like the Chumagin Avram would say no. Chayyadim says it's allowed. The Tiferes Yisrael has a commentary on Masech the Shabbos called the Kilkelos HaShabbos, and the Mishnah is Masech the Shabbos. He discusses taking a cruise on Shabbos. There are always kosher cruises. I don't know what they're called, but they have not been Zeichel Lekach, but there's kosher cruises. They always sail on Shabbos. Now, if you know, if you've ever seen a cruise ship at all, you live with cruise ships. Over here on the west side also, you see cruise ships all the time. They are ginormous. I mean, literally, the size of a city block. I mean, it's a sight to see. If you know. Never seen one in, right? Tremendous cruise ships. Oh. So cruise ships, there's never been a cruise of all Jews, not as far as I know. Right? Former president, Richard Joel, used to always say at the end of the year, he takes a no-Jews cruise. But he used to go on a cruise without any Jews. But every cruise is really a no-Jews. Even if they have a kosher cruise, it's a little part of the cruise. They have 50 rooms, 100 rooms out of like a whole hotel. I mean, it's gigantic. Fine. They have a kosher dining room, and hopefully, the food is run kedasu kedin. You know that they know not to cook on Shabbos, and then it's fine. But someone's running the boat on Shabbos. How can I ask the Nachri to run the boat for me on Shabbos? The answer is he's running the boat for the majority non-Jews. He's running the boat all the same. It doesn't cost any extra. No matter how much cholent you eat, it's not going to cost extra gas to run the cruise ship. Okay. So then he's doing it all the same. It's permitted. What about over here with the express mail? So what's over here with the express mail? Says the Shvus Yaakov like this. And it's already found in the Shulchan Aruch. The non-Jew is going anyway. UPS, FedEx, whoever I'm sending it with. They have a whole truckload of stuff. Let's assume in most communities, it might not be true though, that the majority of packages are for non-Jews. So he's traveling anyway. For the packages of the non-Jews. I ask him to take an extra package for me. But he's traveling anyway. He's putting in the same truck. He's not adding, bringing a separate second bucket of water. He's coming just a bigger truck. Same truck, just an extra package. So it says, the Shulchan Aruch, Ma'ini Yehudi, Halak, Ma'azon, Lavak, Ma'achav, Yisrael, Noisin, Lo Yigeres, Mutum, Chol Gavni. The guy's going to the Philippines anyway. So I say, take my package. And I demand that he travel on Shabbos. Yes, it's true. I'm asking him to travel on Shabbos. But he's not traveling just for me. He's taking a whole package of Rav non-Jews. How is that different than the cruise, which is being run for Rav non-Jews? It's flying anyway. The electrical grid is going anyway. So why is it any difference? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you can give him an extra letter, and you're okay. But the Magen Avraham here disagrees again. Says the Magen Avraham, Tzarech Iyun. No! He's bringing an extra package for you. He's doing an extra malacha for you of carrying. Birshus HaRabim, he's doing that for you. The Shulchan Aruch said, what are you talking about? He's bringing a whole truck. What's he doing extra for me? One extra letter? Says the Magen Avraham, yes. Every extra letter package that the Nachri carries is an extra malacha of Haitzah. Shulchan Aruch disagrees. I think they're arguing about, this is the way the Or Sameach explains their argument, they're arguing about Ribu B'Shiur when it comes to Amir V'Nachri. What is the concept? Over here, the Mishnah says, Masech the school, and we'll get up to the Mi'at Hashem, that if you have a chayla in the house, and the chayla needs meat, you can shecht an animal to get the chayla meat. Can other people eat? How much is this guy going to eat? A whole carbon Pesach himself? No. Can other people eat from the meat? Yes. Hashoyek the chayla b'Shabbos, mutter l'bari b'umtza. Healthy people can eat the raw meat. You can't cook it, you can eat the raw meat. Kevin, the Yeshua Kazai is possible. I can't get one little Kazai is possible unless I shech the whole animal. But if he needs food, water heated up or food cooked, I can cook for him on Shabbos. You cannot, healthy people cannot drink the rest. Let's say I boil up a pot of water for the guy. He's a chayla. He needs it. Chayla sheyesh basakana, life-threatening situation. Can other people make tea out of the water? No. Why not? Gzeir Hashem yarbe b'shvila. Maybe other people, I'll heat up extra water. Once I'm heating up water, oh, who else wants water? And even if I didn't ask, if I know other people can take, I might heat up more. One minute. And how come they can have the meat from the animal? How come they can have the meat? What's going on over here? What's the difference? That's the minchas chinuches. What's the difference between this and that? So all the achrenim explain, there are some meach, many others, that each melechah Shabbos depends on the following. Some depends on one or the other. Some melechas of Shabbos are defined, they are prohibited activity. But the size of what I'm doing or how much I'm producing doesn't matter as long as I did that activity. If I shecht the small chicken or I shecht the behema gasa, it's the same malach of shechita. Doesn't matter. You violate one of the Lama Tesafis malachas, but it doesn't matter how big the animal is. The malach of shechita is not defined by producing shechted meat on Shabbos. It's defined by killing an animal. So it doesn't matter how big the animal is. So if you create, would take a bigger animal and other people are going to eat from it, you haven't done a greater malacha. Some malachas of Shabbos, though, are defined by producing a certain result. Like cooking. Cooking, it's not lighting, you know, putting the pot on top of the fire. It's cooking the food in the pot. So if I cook more food in the pot, I've just, performed more malacha. Ah. So ribui bishiyurim, and that kind of malacha will be usher. Doing in greater quantity than necessary will be usher. If it's a malacha that's defined by an activity, ribui bishiyurim will not necessarily be a bigger malacha. So shechita is permitted. What do you say when it comes to amir l'nachri? The nachri is traveling anyway. And I asked the Nachri, bring an extra letter. Is Ribui Bishiyurim Mutter when it comes to Amir Ganachri? He's doing it anyway, the same activity. Is the activity the focus of the use of Amir Ganachri? I can't ask him to do an activity for me? Well, he's already doing the activity. Or is it, no, I can't ask him to produce a certain result. He's bringing it to a certain place. So he brought my item too. He did a greater result. Is Amir Ganachri focused on the activity? Or is it focused on the result? That, says the Or Sameach, is the argument between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. He claims that in fact it's a machlekes 2 days in Tosfos too in Masechtas Gittin, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Erev in the following: before a bris milah, they used to wash the baby in hot water as an antiseptic. We mentioned we have better antiseptics nowadays; we don't use hot water anymore. But you needed hot water to perform a bris milah on Shabbos. What happens if the hot water spilled? You get hak tzaris. Where are you going to get hot water from? Nowadays, everyone has a Shabbos urn, but where are you going to get hot water from? So the Gemara says, Amalahu Rava, Nishaile Le'ime. 1 minute. The mother is a chayle because she's still a yoledes. Maybe she needs hot water. Yeah, but she's past 7 days. We can't heat up hot water for yoledes past 7 days. You can only ask a nachri to do it. So ask the nachri to do it. Itzricha nechem le'nachri agavime. So once the nachri is heating up water for the mother, let us, because she's a chayle, the mother is still a woman who just delivered. Maybe she had a C-section. Takes a long time to recover. So we're going to heat up water for the mother. Let's heat up extra water for the bris milah. What? How are you heating up extra water? So says Tosfos over here, second line from the bottom. You can't add extra water to being mavashel. You're being mavashel more water. And Bishul is focused on the result, not the activity. So you're doing a greater result. You're cooking more water. Amir l'nachri is not focused. It's not an iser of doing a certain of bringing about a certain result, getting my package from point A to point B. It's asking him to do such an activity, but the guy's doing the activity anyway. He's heating up water, so he heats up more water. That's fine. Then Tosfos says another teretz. V'shem adafku tzarech milo. Maybe only milo is permitted, but not in other contexts. So our Sameach claims this machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. Depends on how we define Amir Nachri. But getting back, so says the Shvus Yaakov, you want a guy, ask a Nachri to travel over Shabbos, but he's going anyway. The Shulchan Aruch would hold, you can ask him to take an extra package, even though I'm demanding that he travel over Shabbos, as long as it is together with a majority of packages that are belonging to non-Jews. He's going anyway, an extra package doesn't matter. The Magen Avraham would disagree. So Sotu the Minchas Yitzchak says that this would apply to express shipping in our times too, as long as it's traveling together with a majority of packages that are non-Jews. The problem becomes if you live in a private home, right? So it's together in the truck. Yeah, you got all the way to your front door, or if I ask him to travel over Shabbos from New Jersey to the Philippines, it's together in a big truck or a plane. What if when he gets to my front door? What now? Now he's going to have to get out of the car and carry it to my house without a majority of non-Jewish packages. Well, if you live in a community that has an Eruv, that's all right. He hasn't done anything specifically for you. If you live in a community without an Eruv, admittedly, that is more of a concern because he's carrying my package to my front door. But if I live in a community where there's an Eruv, he's not really doing much for me, except driving it to my house, but that he was doing for the majority of packages that are non-Jews. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would be a God. The Magen Avraham would disagree, and that's not something we should turn our noses up, right? The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah would disagree. But according to Shulchan Aruch, that perhaps can be allowed. But there is another tzal kula here, which perhaps could help us, overlook even the chumrah of the Magen Avraham, and that is, most of the times people order Saturday delivery, right? You have to say you have Amazon Prime or something. You just want it as soon as possible. If the guy would deliver it Friday, you would jump for joy. I don't need it on Saturday. It's not like, see, documents that are FedEx, which someone told me this morning no one does anymore, because everyone has a DocuSign. But you know, no one does closings with hard copies anymore, which was a fetish to me. But so no one needs financial papers. You sometimes need Saturday delivery. You know, it can't come before. Here, we just want our packages as quick as possible. You order Thursday, the guy has plenty of time, no matter where in the country you ordered it from, to get it to you by Friday. Just there's a line, there's a backlog of packages, so we can't get it to you. But he could have, in theory, gotten it to me here today. So then it's up to him. I just want it as quick as possible. When I say Saturday delivery, I don't want Saturday delivery. I want it like ASAP. So if that's as soon as possible, that's as soon as possible. But I don't care about Saturday in particular. If you bring a Friday, I'd be thrilled. And he can, in theory, get it here at least, right? If he would charter a plane, he could get it here. So he doesn't want to do that. That's up to him. Or let's say it wouldn't come Saturday. It comes Monday. You have no recourse with Amazon. It's like an educated guess the day that the package is going to come, right? It sometimes comes that day. A lot of times it doesn't come that day, and there's nothing really you can do about it. So the Minchas Yitzchok was already aware of that. So he says, you know, even the Saturday delivery is not like you're asking it for Saturday. You want it as quick as possible, and even if it doesn't come that day, you really don't have much recourse. But even if I am, Lu Yitzuyer, I was asking for Saturday delivery, at least if we live in a place where there is an Eruv, you're really not asking him to do much for you. But let's say, well, you'll say, no, he is. He's driving the car, UPS truck, up to my house, right? Before he was parked down the block, he drove. Not only did he carry the package out of the car to my house, he drove the car and stopped in front of my house. That's true. But the other thing you could argue is that he could have, if you have nachrim that are anywhere near you, if you live in a ghetto, really dense communities where there are no non-Jews, you have a problem. But if he could have stopped at the non-Jew's house and walked over to my house, as long as I didn't order like a refrigerator or an air conditioner, he could have walked it over. He decided to drive. So if you're ordering a big heavy thing that the guy couldn't drive and you dafka wanted it on Saturday, you know, or he couldn't have come any sooner, so then it's a little bit more sketchy. But other than that, you should be, he could have walked from the other guy's house. Why do you have to drive here? He could have walked around the whole town with the packages. So I don't know if the driving necessarily is for you or the driving is for him. It makes his life easier. Even if you live in an area where there's no Eruv, if the guy comes into a building, like an apartment building with 1,000 packages, so unless you have everyone in the Jew building is Jews, which some buildings are like that, but if you have everyone, if not everyone's Jews, he's coming majority packages for non-Jews. So majority packages for non-Jews. Also should be all right. So anyway, a kitzamaisa is most of the time the packages we want earlier. You don't want a dafka on Saturday. And in theory, it was possible to come before. And even then, it's lav dafka. The guy's going to come on Saturday. If you dafka wanted Saturday, and that's as soon as it could have come, so then if you live in an area where there's an Eruv, so then the question is, one could be Meko like the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham might disagree. But then you have the other heter of the Amira, the Amira, which perhaps plays into this whole story as well. Yeah.
Is there a problem accepting packages on Shabbos?
You can't sign anything.
What about just dropping it at your door? Isn't that an exception because he's dropping it, it's like an accepting because it's in your area, like it's in your domain. So you're kind of accepting it just by him dropping it by your door. Like,
yeah.
He's lying down on my neighbor.
I didn't ask him to come now. He could have come Friday. You decided to come now. Why don't you ever ask the kasha with the mail? Yeah, same kasha.
Same
yeah, the guy came when he wanted to come. The guy came when he wanted to come. So what?
Like, you know you're getting it on Saturday. A package
so?
Is like...
It's worse. I asked for Saturday delivery. Yes, there's no problem with the mail. If you live in an area where there's no Eruv, for sure it's... if you live in an area where there's an Eruv, the guy usually walks from place to place.
Right.
If you live in an area where there's no Eruv, how am I allowed to get the mail? You're probably right. I'm not allowed to get the mail, but the mail comes anyway. So, and most people don't take the mail until after Shabbos. So I'm not enjoying what he did. Mail a lot of times has mukzah in it. A lot of times it has checks and bills, which people consider to be stuff you wouldn't use for other reasons. So if it's that kind of document that you wouldn't use, if it's all garbage, or it's a pair of shoes, I don't think it's mukzah. Unless the guy brought it outside, from outside of Shabbos just for me, and he violated Shabbos in getting there. If what we're saying is correct, he didn't necessarily violate Shabbos. Again, there's coolers here, but he didn't necessarily violate Shabbos in getting it there. So then I don't know if the shoes are muksa. Does that mean you could open up the package and wear them to shul? I don't think so. Everybody, there's too many coolers. Opening packages is a whole other discussion. Wear your old shoes.
Wouldn't it be a problem for the guy to come to my door for me to take it from him, even without a signature?
If I don't know what it is, it's, if it might be a laptop, it might be alarm clock.
You know what you ordered.
At my house, I have no idea what's coming and going. So much stuff coming
someone
and going.
Someone knows what's coming. Someone knows.
I have no idea what's coming and going. I guess so. Someone knows. Yeah. If you know what it is, so then I don't think the Zappos box is Mukse.
Nothing to do with accepting.
I don't think the Zappos box is Mukse. But most people are not sure what everything, so we just kick the mail. We don't really handle the mail with our hands. And a lot of it sometimes is Mukse, sometimes not Mukse. The receipt might be Mukse because you're going to keep the receipt. You wouldn't throw away the receipt. So the receipt is like a business document. You're not going to use it as a bookmark. So. A lot of times, okay.
You get it into your house. I would say leave it on the port.
I leave it there or move it aside. Yeah, if you push me into a corner, do I really think a lot of it's Mukse? If you know what it is, if you know there's no bills or checks, maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, Chavrusha.